All right, teens, if you're going to be giving your testimony, if you'd move on up to the front now, that way we know who all is going to be going. We can keep it moving really quickly. I do appreciate the opportunity the church has given me over the last 20 years to take teenagers to the wilds. It has been a blessing. There is nothing more special, I guess, to say the least. I've always said, anytime I've gone up there, if they would just ask me to stay, I'd have somebody just ship my clothes to me. I wouldn't even come home to get them. Because if you've ever been to the wilds, it is definitely a place of blessing. We had some great speakers this weekend that the teens will be able to tell you some of the things that they learned. And we just want to, again, say thank you. Now, Matt asked, he said, don't know what you're going to do next year. Just so you'll know, you know, any time that you need me to take any group to the wilds, I'm here. I'm here. I'll do it. You know, we'll leave again tomorrow if I got a group. I don't care. All right. So, with that said, we're going to get started tonight with our testimony time. College and career, anytime you see an opportunity or anytime the Lord really tells you that you need to come up here and say something about your retreat from last weekend, you just step right in. Don't feel like this is not the teens' night. This is a testimony night. This is a night where we can stand and give God all the praise for everything He's done. Whether it was through the wilds, there was a couples conference actually the weekend before that I was able to go to for the first time. And I know there's some others who are here from that couples conference. If you got blessed and you want to stand and say something, that would be a great opportunity to say something tonight as well. So with that said, which of my teens are going to go first? Come on, Lindsay. When you get up here, if you would, because you're recording it back there, say your name, all right, and tell what retreat you went to so that he's able to get that on tape.
Hi, I'm Lindsay, and I went to the teen retreat this weekend. And a lot of things the speakers said, we had three different speakers, actually. They were the workers from the wilds. And a lot of things they said spoke out to me, but the main thing was probably the message from last night. Brother Joe was talking about Joseph and all the things he went through. And one of the things he said was, like, no matter what, God kept throwing things at Joseph. Like, he was sold into slavery. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And no matter what, he stayed calm, like he knew God was in control. And I realized that sometimes God will just throw like the tiniest things in my life and I fall apart. And I freak out. And I realize that's not something I need to do because I need to realize that God's in control and everything's going to be okay. And He's going to use the things that He's throwing at me to help me become a better Christian. So just pray I'll remember that.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Josiah, and I went to the teen retreat. All the speakers were good, but before they would start their sermon, pretty much all of the speakers would say, God can change your life if you let Him. And that really spoke to me because I don't want to hinder God from working in my heart. And also, while I was there, the speakers didn't speak on anything, but God also convicted me of doing stuff that it was others may, but I cannot. And I've been doing a lot of things that were not, quote, wrong, but they were because I had been told not to do that. So if y'all would pray for me about that. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeremiah Patterson, and I went to the teen retreat. And one of the things that stood out to me was from the Saturday afternoon service. It was defeating temptations in your life, and some of the points were determined to escape temptation, consider sin dead in your life, and deny sin, and walk in the Spirit. We should also guard our heart, which means guard your tongue, and guard your eyes, and guard your path. And we need to have standards, and we need to delight in God's Word. And if y'all please pray for me that I would be able to stand against temptations and guard my heart.
Amen.
Hey, I'm Clara, and I went to the teen retreat this weekend, and the thing that really spoke to me this weekend was last night, it was Mr. Matt Herbster who was speaking last night, and he was talking about how everything is vanity, and then he's like, if you have Jesus, you have everything, and I've been struggling with how I feel like I need more, like, stuff, because I just want more, and but then he said, if you have Jesus, then you're satisfied. And just pray for me that I will want Jesus so I can be satisfied.
Hi, my name is Ansley, and I went to the teen retreat. When I was at the Wilds, one of the speakers, Willie, he preached on Friday night. As he preached, he asked a question. The question was, why do we need God? And the question flew in my mind. So why do we need God? Because we are guilty in Him. We are guilty in all things. We are guilty also. We are also guilty in things we do. We did wrong. Sorry. But not only that, God loves us. He loves us all, including sinners. Sinners. Sorry, I'm getting nervous up here. And that is what I like about God. He loves us all, no matter what. Amen. I feel like God wanted me to say that to you people. And I thank Him for all what He has done for me and to you. So I want you to please pray for me not to be mad to anyone else.
Hi, I'm Anna Marie, and I went to the Wilds Teen Retreat this weekend. And Joe Font, he talked about this morning that about Joseph and how he went through so much, and yet when his brothers returned to him, he said, you know, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. And that really spoke to my heart, that said, sometimes people are going to hurt you, but you just have to look at God, because He knows the whole picture, and He will, and He's a sovereign God, and He knows what's best for your life, and He will provide. So.
Hey, I'm Cody, and I went to the Wilds Teen Retreat. And so basically every sermon spoke to me in some way. On Saturday morning, it was when light enters, darkness flees. And that was just a big thing, because when you're saved, Jesus enters and light enters. And so that means that the darkness cannot stand against Him. And then Saturday afternoon was defeating temptation. And that was like, wow, I mean, I completely needed that. It was the most amazing thing. Then on Saturday night, it was about happiness, and I try to be I'm happy a lot of the time, but a lot of times I'm not, too. And one of the distractions from happiness, and happiness is focused on God, and one of the distractions from that, they said, was work. And when they said that, I thought of football, because I love playing football, and so a lot of times I focus more on that than I do on about God or anything, and I really need to stop that. And then Sunday morning, he talked about Joseph, and how a whole lot of things happened to him, but he still forgave everyone. And that spoke to me too, because a lot of times I struggle to forgive people when they're mean to me or anything. I struggle to forgive them, and it's like every sermon, God was speaking directly to me. Yeah.
I'm Zared, and I went to the Wilds Teen Retreat, and when I went there, one of the speakers were talking about how so much stuff everybody gives stuff to you, and you want stuff, and that makes you satisfied for life, and the devil just tempts us to say, I want this, and I want this, and the more stuff we get, then the more we're just going to be unhappy for the rest, and until we have Jesus. And once we have Jesus, we're satisfied for life, and we don't need anything else. No money, no nice cars, no big houses. We just need Jesus, and He'll provide for us all through the way. And I pray that you'll help me focus more on keeping Jesus as number one.
Amen.
Hi, I'm JJ, and I went to the teen retreat, And this weekend at the Wilds, one of the speakers, Mr. Joe Faint, was preaching at chapel, and he was talking about how us Christians should stand out to others and shine our Christian flashlight into the darkness and walk as children of light. He also talked about how we should want to copy everything God does and a lot of other really good stuff, and it really stood out to me. And I would please like y'all to pray with me to shine my Christian flashlight into darkness and not more like Christ.
I'm Timothy, and I went to the Wilds Teen Weekend Retreat, and that's just what it was for me, is a retreat where I could get away and where I could put Christ back in place. And it was a blessing for me to be able to go there and to have a time where I could get back into having His power and doing things through His power and not through my own power. And I'd like y'all to pray for me that I'd continue in this and that I'd abide in Him and not in my own strength.
Amen. Hi, my name is Lee, and I went to the teen weekend at the Wilds. And the things that stood out to me was the Saturday afternoon service that Willie preached, and it was about defending against sin. His points were, to defend against sin, we have to guard our heart, tongue, eyes, and ears, and to watch our path. And I ask that you would pray for me to live how God wants me to live.
Amen.
I'm Daniel Jamaski, and I went to the Teen Weekend at the Wilds. This was my last opportunity to go to the Teen Weekend because I just graduated this past year. One thing that was kind of interesting that went along with that, since I look older than most everybody else, a lot of the guys thought I was a counselor, which actually I felt that was the reason I needed to go to the Wilds as a camper, because I had an opportunity to influence these boys. And it put back into my mind, young adults, all of you, me, we are an example to these younger teens. They look at us, they see what we're doing, and they'll do it too. You have an opportunity to influence someone else's life. That's what I felt God was leading me to do this past weekend. Something that really stood out to me from one of the sermons was this morning with Mr. Joe Fant talking about Joseph. First, he started by saying, when your life falls apart, what do you cling to? That made me think. I've had a lot of things changing this year, and I thought, am I clinging to Christ, or am I trying to do it on my own? Am I clinging to other things? I'm going to challenge you with that same thing tonight. Are you clinging to Christ? Are you looking for other things? That really made me think.
Hey, I'm Kendra. What spoke to me was during God and I time this morning. One of the questions was, if your friends were asked about your testimony, what would they say? And because you're really you in front of your friends, you might do something else in front of other people, but in front of your friends, you're really who you are. And so that really spoke to my heart. So.
Hi, I'm Annabeth, and I went to the college retreat, and we had two speakers. I can't really remember their names right now, but... one of them I really connected with. He was the one that preached during the day, and he was just so real. He would just stop and be like, you know what I struggle with? I struggle with this, and I struggle with this. And he said, we don't tell about what we struggle with enough to our fellow believers, because our spiritual growth is for it's not just for our own personal gain. It's for the body of Christ, so that because somebody might be struggling with what you're struggling with. And so I'm just going to say one thing that spoke out to me in one of his sermons was, what you get angry about is often reveals an idol in your life. And just one thing in specific that I was about to put a CD in my car, and I broke the CD case, but not even the CD. And I got really mad just because I broke the CD case, and I just felt like that was an idol in my life. So just please pray for me about that. That's what I've been struggling with. Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, y'all. I'm Zeke. I went on the teen retreat, and we had three speakers on the teen retreat, and Willie was one of them. That's kind of why I did that. He spoke about the great escape and how we can escape temptation, and I've kind of been struggling with escaping that. Please just pray for me on that.
Hi, I'm Geneva Wynn. I went to the teen retreat. we had a wonderful group of boys and girls, and we've had a wonderful weekend. The weather was great. We were kind of wanting it to snow, and we just had snow flurries when we went to breakfast yesterday morning. It was great just to see that. And the speakers, I think, were great because they were younger. Usually we have older, you know, preachers that have been preaching for older years than these guys. And they were kind of down to our level, even my level, that I could understand. And he preached on Joseph, like they said, and that's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And he brought out so many unusual things, different things that I hadn't even thought about. And then he told the one in the morning, Joe, was really first time I've ever heard him, and I've been going a couple of years. But he was just so many things that they brought out that I needed refreshing, so it was good for me. And I've been under the weather for a few weeks, and I really needed that encouragement. But one of the things Brock and I were talking about, one of the stories he talked about was when he went off on a trip with the other preachers, and when they went through the metal detectors, everybody got through the metal detectors except for him, and it kept going off, and they'd make him go back and frisk him and check him and all the things that they do, and he'd go back through the metal detector and it'd go off again. And he said, "What do you have?" And I'm nothing, you know. And he didn't know what he had. And I think it's three or four times. And finally, they said, took a picture, you know. And he came back and said, "Well, it's just a little thing like that, like a bullet." And he said, "Bullet? That's what it was. Evidently, it was lodged in the lining of his suitcase somewhere that he'd had in the past." So he finally got rid of the bullet, and he said it was the little things that trip us up. That was the point that he was bringing it out, and that's so true. We can handle those big things sometimes, and you know, because we know they're big, and we try to conquer those, but it's the little sins, the little foxes. And in closing, I'd just like to say one thing that Joe said the first day I heard him that resonated with me was he talked about, you know, being obedient and your parents and things that happen at home. And he said that it talked about his mother washing out his mouth with soap. And I don't know if any of you have ever had your mouth washed out with soap, but I came close many times. And I don't think my kids did. Did you, Derek? You did? Oh. And do you do your children? That's what I thought. That's what he was talking about what, and she's, but the point that he made, and this really rang a bell with me, because he said, mother said to me that I don't have my glasses on, so I'm trying to read my handwriting, but she said, I have to wash your mouth out with soap because I don't want God to have to do it later. And that is so true. If we don't train our children today, then we'll be reaping the rewards of that, or unrewards of it, in later life. And it's not easy being a parent. You know, I know that. I have three of my own and six grandchildren. So I know that it's not easy. And we have to sometimes do things that they think, I'm sure my kids thought I enjoyed, Brock and I did, punishing them, challenging them, or making not do what do something they didn't want to do. But they didn't know. We'd go to bed at night sometimes and cry. I'm sure mothers have done that. You know, because it hurt us to have to, and I'm sure it hurts our Father, our Heavenly Father. And I know it does when we sin and disobey. So if wash your kids out mouth with soap now so God won't have to do it later. Thank you for letting me go.
Hello, my name is Thomas, and I went to the couples retreat October 17th, I believe it was, through the generosity of some good friends. We wouldn't have gotten to go if it weren't for them, and I want to thank them. Hopefully they'll get to hear this sometime. I also want to say God is good. I really prayed about that bus making it up there for the teens this weekend. That was, when I was thinking about snow and rain and the condition of that bus, God is so good to get them back up there and back safely, so I'm just praising for that. Really enjoyed the couple's conversation. You know, the Wilds is always beautiful and everything. And we had one speaker, and he spoke on the basics of marriage. And I think that was so needed because we get in our schedules and the busyness of life and forget our spouse, you know, what they need. And there were three things that really spoke to me that weekend. First of all, the God and I time, it was God and us time actually, but the couples went somewhere together and read the Bible together, and there was one God and I time where we have just affirmed each other, told each other what we loved about each other. I think, wow, this was needed. And another thing that spoke to me, you know, he said marriage is a lifelong, and some people think it's a contract. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. And it's a lifelong covenant. And you know, and then he brought the point, and I never thought about this before. You're not married anymore in heaven, and that kind of just devastated me for a little while there. But you know, Susan said, "You know, I bet you'd be glad to get rid of me." I said, "No, no, no, no." But you know, that really devastated me. You know, your marriage relationship ends in heaven, but I was just really bummed out about that for a while. But it made me think how much more I need to love my Savior, put Him, you know, love Him most of all, and cherish her here on this earth. And the third thing, I loved what he brought out the first night, I believe it was. He said that God came up, you know, he quote invented marriage long before we came up with laws and traditions and all these, you know, these cultural and these, you know, what's going on today. He said before anybody came up with their idea of marriage, he came up with it at the, you know, the beginning of time. And that's something we all need to remember. So I just glad, praise God for the opportunity to go with Susan and just strengthen our marriage.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Josie, and I went to the college and career retreat a couple weeks ago. Really, the basic thing that stuck out to me is one of the speakers said something about calling sin what it actually is, and it's sin. And I know so many times I go, well, that's not really sin. It's like maybe not the best thing I could do, but it's not sin. But it just made me stop and realize that it is sin and I shouldn't do it. So just pray for me about that.
Not that old yet. Sorry. Anyway, just don't need help yet. How about that? I'm Andrea, and I went to the couples retreat and the teen retreat. And first of all, let me say about the teen retreat. We really want to thank all the sponsors. A lot of these children wouldn't have gotten to go if it hadn't been for y'all. So thank you very much for giving freely of something that you probably didn't even, might have not even had to give, but that y'all gave freely and very generously for some of these kids to go with a sponsor. And I want to thank Brock and Geneva for pulling the luggage and for all that they do always for the teens and for this retreat, for getting me and Ricky started 20 years ago going with the teens, and for all the teens going, because as you've heard of these wonderful testimonies they've given, I know all this whole church has been praying for them to get everything spiritual out this weekend that they could, and obviously they did. They got a lot out of it spiritually. So I want to thank all of them for going and for listening and obeying God. What I got out of the couples, I also went to the couples retreat, and what I got out of the couples retreat was that, you know, just some basics that we that I know, should know, but I tend to forget a lot, is that all Christians, whether you're married, single, old, young, whatever, all Christians should be kind and compassionate and forgiving. And I tend to so not be strong in any of those areas lots of times. And so God really convicted me on how I need to do much better in those areas. And and then also with the teen retreat, I got a lot of good stuff out of the whole weekend with that too, even though they're supposed to be preaching toward the teens. I always get whooped probably 100 times worse than they do. There's several things, but the main thing was that how God is in control of everything. No matter what he's bringing into your life, what he allows in your life, he is in control of it, and how I need to remember to just be still, for he is God.
Amen. Any other from the college and career, Brother Bill? Oh, you got to come up here.
I just wanted to say that at the couples retreat, Greg Masak brought out some things that I hadn't really thought of just that way. The big thing was that marriage is a picture of the church, and that's why it's so important. And as a Christian couple, we won't be married in heaven because we will be married. We'll be married to Christ. The church will be married to Christ in heaven. So now we have just a picture of that which is to come. And I think that's pretty nifty.
Any others?
I also was blessed to go to the couples retreat. There was four of us couples, and like Bill had said, Pastor Masak spoke to us, and it was just on basics, the stuff that that even after 30 years, it was good to have just ingrained on our heart again. And one of the guys, not times, like Andrea said, we had to talk to our mate about, were we kind, compassionate, and forgiving? And those are all qualities of Christ. And I struggle with being unforgiving, having an unforgiving heart. And I always have. And knowing in my head what Christ did for me, that I should be able to freely forgive. And I struggled with that through my child rearing and just how I deal with others. So I would appreciate your prayers for that. And we played a pretty funny game of putt-putt with four couples because the points were, are you kind, are you compassionate and forgiving? So somebody would do something and we'd say, well, that wasn't very kind. And now you're going to have to be forgiving. And that wasn't compassionate. Anyway, it got really funny. But just we enjoyed the weekend with the Clarks and the Buseys and the Weatherlys. It was really a sweet time.
I first want to say this is no way easy for me to admit this, but coming to the Wilds was very much needed for me for the past year or so. I mean, crap. Dealing with very financial situations and feeling, being hit with the situation that I almost had lost my home and literally losing my family. And then realizing one of the first things that Paul, what he was talking about was, what are your idols that you deal with that make you angry? And one of the first things that popped in my head was, as growing up, I was a very very angry child that most people who, before I came to church, those who know me before I came to church knew, I was a very worrisome kid that they, I hear many times over that they would pray for me, that made me realize that I'm very fortunate finding this church, because going one instance when I went with Carl on a door-to-door knock, and I met a friend that I went to high school with, and seeing how far down he went and realizing I was heading down the same situation he was, and then going back to the what was considered idols and stuff, with anger and stuff, it made me rethink why was I angry as a kid, and a lot of through this time, and even with the financial situation, it kept, like, during the whole Saturday service, it made me realize, kept making me realize why was I angry and all, and then the evening service was, talks about let go your earthly things and be more into God Himself, and it was a funny situation, was perfect time to say that when I fall down the flight of stairs, twist my ankle, and first thing he talks about is let go of the things of the world. And basically when that whole service ended, it basically hit me that I've yet to let go of my past, that it literally has hindered me as a Christian, because I've never to grow in a Christian, you have to let go of things that you have to let go. And I learned I still hold back to my what I'm angry at, and the fears I have, because being an angry kid I was, I'm actually afraid that of my anger now, that it might be let go, because I actually don't know how to control it anymore. And the Wilds for me was very enlightening, that I still need to grow. And while Paul and Steve were giving me the test, preaching, it also helped that I was having a very intellectual spirit conversation with John here. It was about how we both grown in the Lord and stuff, and it helped me realize that I needed to grow. In this whole past week, I've been in a very spiritual crisis thing, basically saying I need to let go before I revert again. And I just wish y'all would pray for me, that I would basically let go of my past, and so I can be a better person. And well, thank you.
Any others? I don't want to cut it off short. The opportunity that we've had to go to the Wilds has been very special, as I said earlier. And if it hadn't have been for a couple like Brock in Geneva, we would have never been involved with it. They were very special to us, kind of took us under their wing and got us involved with going to the Wilds, and there we've been ever since. So though we've been there for 20 years, they've been there for 20 plus. And they have been a huge influence on the lives of these teenagers. It's not just Andrea and I. It's Brock in Geneva. It's the Lord. And so just continue to pray for these young people. You've heard their struggles tonight. You've heard some of the testimony that they gave. You've heard some of us not so young with the other things that we've been involved with, the couples retreats, as we were talking about that earlier. And that was some very eye-opening information, stuff that we should know, just really should know. Matter of fact, the weekend was called Marriage 101. Very basic. But so many things that we just kind of let fly until somebody says, have you thought about? And we were able to get some very good teaching and some to bring us closer together. Now, with that said, I have to say that just like these young people who come up, I struggle just as much as anybody does with different things going on in my life. Anger is one of them. And I can be set off in a hurry, but I get over it in a hurry, which is not good, because when you get set off in a hurry, you usually make somebody else either angry or hurt, and then you're done, but they're still left angry and hurt. And so if you would just continue to pray for me as I continue to allow God to work in that area of my life as well. Now, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of James tonight. The book of James, we'll talk just a few minutes in this. The book of James, of course, is written to early Jewish believers. The theme of the book is sort of living by faith or spiritual maturity. And as we look at the five different chapters, we can almost look at five different sermons that was preached. And just kind of dealing with it as you go through that chapter 1 deals with trials. And it talks about how trials are going to come. But it's how we respond to the trials to how we'll grow spiritually. How much we depend on God and not self to get us through those trials. Chapter 2 deals with the prejudices that others were having, and we struggle in the same area. We say we're not prejudiced, but yet it's very easy to fall into that trap. Chapter 3 is, of course, taming our tongues. It's our speech. And what I was saying just a second ago about anger, being very quick, just the little quips, the things that we say sometimes can be very hurtful. Chapter 4 is our behavior in conflicts. In particular, our relationship to the world. And that's what I want to look at for just a second tonight. It's not going to take us long. We won't be here very long. But if you turn to chapter 4, and go ahead and look down in verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's pray. Father, we just ask now that you would bless the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say exactly what needs to be said. Lord, we ask now that you would just bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. James is talking about a particular thing here, and as he's talking, he refers to our life being something as quick as a vapor. Now, we all know what vapor is, right? I mean, the easiest example you have of it, you got a pot of water boiling on the stove or anything boiling on the stove. As it begins to get hot, as it reaches that certain temperature, you start seeing the steam rise off of it, and the steam will, the more it boils, the more steam that you see roll off of it. But the thing that you notice the most is it doesn't go very far. The steam doesn't seem to fill the house. Now, a lot of times my cooking, it's not steam, it's smoke, and it tends to fill the whole house. But steam doesn't. Have you noticed? It just kind of goes up. It might condense a little bit on the vent hood or something, depending on what you're cooking or on the pot lid. But it just vanishes away very quickly. Now, when we look at the book of James and we see the context that it is, you know, it's so often we'd like to take that verse and use it with lost people, telling them, hey, you know, you don't have much time. Life's like a vapor. You need to get saved. And, you know, there's nothing a whole lot wrong with that theology, because life is short and you don't know when you're going to die. And if you're here tonight, I mean, I look out and it looks like I know everyone here, but, you know, I look at faces, I can't see hearts. But as I look out, I want to tell you that if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know, tonight could be your last night sitting in a pew. You could walk out of the doors, fall down the steps. Life is very short. But the context that James is dealing here is not with lost people. It's with believers. And as I looked at this, I thought, you know what? We as believers, we as Christians ought to be more thoughtful of this short amount of time that we have. See, God has put us here for a purpose. We were created that we might glorify Him. We were created for Him, by Him, and for Him, for everything and His pleasure. But if we're not careful, we'll go about our Christian life enjoying the things that we have, not thinking of the things that God has asked us to do. See, He wants us all to be a witness. He wants us to be a proclaimer, not just of truth, but of His name. We see the situation that our society is in, and we sit there and go, man, just shake our heads and go, I can't believe it's gotten this bad. But it's gotten this bad because we've sat here going, I can't believe it's gotten this bad. It's not a head wagging that's needed. It's a bold stand for Christ. Young people, you've been challenged this weekend as we were at the Wilds together to grow, to read God's Word, to give yourself fully to Him. But can I extend that invitation far beyond these young people? It doesn't matter if you're 14 or 40. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. The time that you have is very precious. And God says, I want you to do My will. Now, we get caught up in looking for God's will, and we take the Bible, and we're searching everywhere going, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. Well, it's on every page of this book. God's will for our life is all throughout this book. And it's not that we need to search it and find it. We need to do it. If we will be doing what God's will is, then He will lead us in paths of righteousness. He will take us where He wants us. He will put us in the situations that we need to be in. Not causing strife, not causing disputes and things of that nature. He will put you in places that you want to be. When we think about Christ that night in the garden, He knew what His purpose was. He was ready to accept all the sin to be placed on Him and be put on that cross and die. But He said, if there's some other way, I'll take it. But nevertheless, Your will, God, be done. Too many times we look for the other way. Too many times we want to do it our way and ask God to bless it. But the fact is, it's a short time we have. It's a very short time. That was one of the reasons why at 52 years old I said, you know, Lord, I enjoy doing what I'm doing. I love teaching Sunday school. I love leading the singing. I stand up here. I have a good time doing that. But years back, God said, I want you to go preach. And that's what I wasn't doing. And the only way that I could do it was to look at this and say, you know, life is short. I don't know how much time I've got left. So I'm going to take what I've got and I'm going to do what God's asked me to do. Can I challenge you with that same thing tonight? Take what you've got left and do what God asks you to do. Study. Reach out. Witness. Encourage. Be kind and compassionate. Forgiving. The things that we already know to do. And let's use it. Oh, that our whole being would be that of Christ. That others would see nothing on you but Christ Himself.